Dear fellow beneficiaries of the Reformation, in Christ Jesus, who gives us reason to sing every day, dear fellow Christians, every song is new the first time it's sung or heard. But the very best new songs are those which remain new, which are just as new and exciting and fresh the hundredth or thousandth time you've heard them as at the first time. And at the very top of that list is the song of salvation. As Pastor Yudi reminded us, it's a song which has been passed down through the generations ever since the first promise made in the Garden of Eden, passed down to Rahab, and all the way down to us today. It's a song of forgiveness, a song of praise that wells up from the heart of the believer. It just can't help but be expressed, be sung out by believers who treasure the forgiveness of sins, that gospel good news. And in our third reading this afternoon, we'll see how that song is sung for eternity. It's a song made up of verses of temporary trials, but those crescendo, they break away into a triumphant, eternal song of victory. So we read in our text, Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 60, and this is the first martyr Stephen's defense before the Jewish high court called the Sanhedrin. And when he had a chance to speak, he told them this: "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We live in a sinful world, and that means that no human being will escape trials and suffering. But it's also true that we bring certain things upon ourselves by our own foolishness, by our own sins. If you don't study for a test, more than likely you'll receive a bad grade. No one is to be blamed but you. If you text and drive, and end up veering off the road and driving into the ditch, again, no one to blame but you. And so in a similar vein, 21-year-old Martin Luther seemed to be blamed for ruining his life. At least that was the opinion of his angry father and bewildered friends. Because Luther at that age just walked away from a lucrative career in law, prestigious position in society, and entered an Augustinian monastery. That set in motion a chain of events which led to Luther perhaps being the most hated man in all of Europe in that time period. He was labeled an outlaw by the emperor, excommunicated by the pope, and why? Because Luther preached that a person is saved not by their own good works, not by what they do, but what Christ has done for them and for all people with his own perfect life and his innocent suffering and death on the cross. And the church and the government of that time couldn't stand to hear that. It was the same hatred which Stephen endured 1,500 years prior to Luther. As we heard, Stephen told the Jewish Sanhedrin that they had betrayed and murdered the promised Savior, the one who had come from God to rescue the world, all of mankind, from sin and death. And because of that, he was stoned to death. Was it worth it? Was it worth it for Luther? Was it worth it for Stephen? Is it worth it for us? It's a question that we need to think about, because Jesus tells us that everyone who follows him, no matter what time period they live in, is going to face persecution. And you've felt it. Haven't you been ridiculed for putting God's word above the word of scientists, philosophers, and other brilliant minds in our world? Perhaps someone's been angry with you because you told them that they're not going to get to heaven by being a good person. In fact, maybe you told them that they're no different than anybody else. Just like everyone else, they're dead in sins. Maybe people have been confused. They haven't understood at all what you meant when you talked about forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus alone. Maybe it's been something worse. But the truth is, you have, and as long as you live on this earth and are following the Lord Jesus, you will face those trials, as Luther and Stephen did. So is it worth it? The song of salvation, which we sing, is going to involve trials, but they don't last. We see that in Stephen's case. As Stephen was being tried, and the verdict was virtually assured already before he spoke, we're told that he looked up. And in a miraculous way, the Lord assured him that the Lord was there for him. Because Stephen looked up and he saw the glory of God, which in Scripture, if you look at passages, the glory of God is usually associated with a brilliant light, a heavenly light, the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Jesus wasn't standing there with a frown on his face, as a previous speaker mentioned. Luther thought that he would have been. There was a time in Luther's life when he would have been terrified to see Jesus. But in Stephen's case, it was a welcome sight, because Stephen knew that he was innocent, righteous before God. The Lord wasn't standing there ready to inflict punishment and damnation on him, but to welcome him with open arms to his heavenly home, because Jesus had paid for his sins. Stephen couldn't have been more pleasing to God, because by faith, Jesus' righteousness covered him. Jesus' blood cleansed him from all sins. And so even though the rocks rained down on Stephen, battering his body, breaking his bones, Stephen was at peace. And he had a blessed death. He could pray and ask the Lord to receive his spirit, confident that the Lord would. He could pray and ask, as Jesus did on the cross, for forgiveness for his enemies. And then we're told he fell asleep. For the believer, death is not a horrible end to every hope and every blessing. Just the opposite. For the believer, death is a sleep. Think of what that means. After a long, exhausting day, whether it's been in the field, in the shop, at school, maybe at home in the laundry room and kitchen, after a long day, which no doubt has had its share of setbacks, don't you just long for rest? Don't you just long for sleep? Your body aches just to finally relax, lay down, close your eyes. Well, after a life of living in a sinful world, that's what death is for the believer. That rest, that assurance that when we close our eyes for the last time here on this earth, it'll be to open our eyes again when the Lord calls us forth from our graves. And in the meantime, we'll have that perfect joy of heaven where our souls are waiting for that judgment day. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Luther, too, came to that conviction. He saw the glory of God, not in the same way Stephen did, but in the pages of Scripture, in passages like Romans 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness by faith from first to last. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. In other words, God sees the believer as perfectly just, righteous, by faith in Jesus. It doesn't depend upon your works or anything you do. That's the assurance. That's the confidence we have. That gives us the reason to sing that song of salvation. If you ever doubt that, the writer to the Hebrews says, look at Jesus again, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus traveled that path from the cross to the crown of glory at the right hand of the Father. The Lord did that so we too could follow that same path. Luther did as well. We often hear about what he did during his life, but are you familiar with what happened at the close of his life? He had gone to his hometown, Eisleben, to settle a squabble. He had done so, but he began to feel ill. Spent a restless night. It soon became clear that the Lord would likely be taking him very shortly. He was in great pain. We're told that in the last hours of his life, over and over again, he repeated John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as the end drew near, one of his dear friends, Dr. Jonas, asked him this, do you want to die standing firm on Christ and the doctrine you have taught? And without hesitation, in a clear, loud voice, he simply responded, yeah, yes. Because he had seen the glory of God. He had seen heaven open to him through Jesus, waiting for him. We too see that glory of God. Luther wrote, when you are baptized, partake of Holy Communion, receive the absolution, or listen to a sermon, heaven is open, and we hear the voice of the Heavenly Father, heaven is open, just as St. Stephen saw it open. So the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now we see that glory of God, the glory of Jesus, in the pages of Holy Scripture, as we hear his word and confess our faith in him. But we're looking ahead to something even greater. To being part of that scene that St. John was given a glimpse of. A scene in heaven where John says, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's the song of salvation, which Christians have been singing throughout the ages, which we're singing today, and which we'll sing for all eternity in glory. Amen.